So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
In the book of Hebrews, if you're there, say amen. If you're not there by now, you wasn't paying attention or you're not going. Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are convinced of better things in your case. The things that have to do with salvation. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped him, as you have helped his people, and you continue to help them. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end so that what you hope for may be fully realized. Now, I just in case you stumbled in off the street today, I want you to recognize something. And please hear my heart. And what I'm going to say, you're going to go, well, that was kind of mean. No, I want you to hear my heart. That Jesus is coming back. And if you're not ready for when he returns, I don't care how much good you've done, you're going to hell. Yeah, that's encouraging, isn't it? But the truth sometimes has got to set you free. You know, I'm just, man... We've got too many people that are flirting with the world and that are dating and shacking up with the devil. We've got to get to the point. God said, I am holy and therefore my people shall be holy. And you may say, that's old fashioned. No, man, that's the word. And whoever, you can't get around this word. If you read it, that's the problem with some of us is, we're not convicted because we don't know what the word is. We don't know that sex outside of marriage is wrong. If you go to this church a month, you ought to know that by now. So I don't know how much more plain I can put it. You don't understand. You know, backbiting and gossiping and lying and cheating, that's sin, man. Treating your spouse bad. Come on, we got to get it together. The Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. And some of y'all are like, oh my God, I picked the wrong night to invite somebody. No, it's gonna get better. But I just... I'm just weary. Some of y'all won't understand this. I just feel like I just want to throw up because I see these people who ought to know better, and they're not. They don't. And then you check them on, and they just. I wonder who he's talking about. You. I want to talk to you for a few moments tonight on an aha moment with God. An aha moment with God. Because have you ever had that moment of clarity? A defining moment when it seemed like that all the pieces fall into place. Man, I've had a few of those. A lot of people call that an aha moment, which can also be called an epiphany. And an epiphany means the sudden realization or comprehension of the essence or meaning of something. That's the definition of epiphany. You know, some people have an epiphany of different things, but we need to have an epiphany of our relationship with God. Could it be that God's not giving you his all because you still are not committed to him? You know, as a young Christian, my wife and I were dating, and when we got engaged, I was not always pure before I got saved. My wife was pure. And I searched the Word of God to find out if we had some loopholes. But she had been saved longer than me, and she shot down all of my loopholes. All right, let's just get real. That's all I'm gonna say, baby. My wife's giving me the evil eye. But you know it's true. Somebody look as good as you. But anyway. But here's the reality. I always said, I'm trying to make a point here, that with my wife, I would say, we're practically married. And she goes, but we're not. And you don't get all of this until I get this. And some of you are trying to get all of this in God when you still have not given God all of this. And we're wanting God to act like a husband and wife to us, but we're not willing to be it back. My God, somebody hear me. And you're wondering why you don't have what God said you could have. Could it be? It's because you have not committed in the way that you need to commit. Well, Pastor, I asked the Lord to come into my life. Okay, you said the prayer, but now have you gone on in and becoming a disciple? Because let me tell you something. And I remember somebody said this. I don't know if it was in this pulpit or not, but it was good. That if you're not a disciple, you're not going to make it to heaven. Because you become a disciple. Sometimes, when we least expect it, God will deliver us a note of revealed truth, an aha moment. And let me ask you, when was the last aha moment that you had? See, as we get older, many of us have more and more aha moments. You know, I quit drinking before I got saved. I still believe that saved people ought not drink. Now, that's all I'm going to say about that. But I quit drinking, you know why? Because I had an aha moment. I woke up from a drunk and said, aha. This is stupid. Aha. I just spent $25 to throw it up in the toilet. Well, let me save my gut some help and just took $25 and threw it in the toilet. It's stupid. But as we get older, many of us have those aha moments, and maybe one was working out a problem in school and you know, and all of a sudden it just clicked. You go, aha. Maybe another might have happened when a family member or ourselves had a serious health issue and that made us see things differently, see our lives differently. Aha moments come in different times and different ways and different packages and different specifics, but they ought to come. And if you're not having an aha moment from time to time, then there's something wrong. I believe that God is wanting to give us some aha moments where there becomes clarity in what we're believing and clarity in what we're living and clarity in what we're seeing and clarity in what we ought to do. Amen. So when God gives you an aha moment, it can change the entire focus and direction of your life. aha. My wife got an aha moment at a prayer meeting when the Lord showed her that everything she was praying for was moi. It took God to show her to it. I thought I had some game, but apparently I did not. But did you ever have one of those moments in life where all the stars came into alignment? Jupiter was aligned with Mars and the clouds rolled away and you were hit by a bolt of lightning and you exclaimed, aha! I got it. Every teacher in here has probably, if you've been teaching any length of time, you see it sometimes in a student when it clicks. At some point in time, this has got to click in you. That this is not just a dating game with God. That it's not just a time to let me see how much I can get from God, and when I get done with God, I'll go to some other God. At some point in time, the aha moments has to get our attention. Now, here's what one old saying says, that sometimes God uses a pebble to get a person's attention. And if that doesn't work, sometimes a larger rock. And for those of us who refuse to pay attention, God resorts to a brick. So what pebble, rock, or brick was thrown into your life to get your attention? Can I tell you, sometimes you get hit upside of the head with a situation to get your attention. Because now God's got your attention. Now that tragedy, now that trouble, now that stuff is happening, all of a sudden you need Jesus. You want Him in your life. Because of time's sake, I won't read all of it. But in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, there was an aha moment of good and evil that Adam and Eve came to. Where the serpent said that God did, God not say you could eat of everything? And they ate of the apple, or they ate of the fruit of the knowledge, and an aha moment of good and evil came. And it changed the complete direction of their lives. Before, they were a nudist colony. Before they ate of the fruit of the land. Before, they didn't have to work to get anything. But now, aha, now they know good and evil. And they went and sowed fig leaves to try to hide their nakedness. But let me tell you, church, that there's nothing you can produce to hide your sin. God has to cover it by the blood of Jesus. Another aha moment of jealousy was Joseph and his brothers in Genesis 37, 3 and verse 4. Where they saw that God was on him and he walked right in the middle of this of his brothers and said, I'm the favorite one. He wasn't very smart, but he might have been the favorite one. I'm the brother of number 10. You do not do that to brothers. They will beat you down or throw you in a pit and sell you into slavery. But the aha moment came when his father made this elaborate embroidered coat and his brothers realized that their father loved him more than the others. And it was an aha moment of jealousy. Or maybe it was Exodus chapter 14. And an aha moment of God's power, the people of Israel, after crossing the Red Sea, that they had forgotten about God because they had been in slavery so long that they had forgot about the power of God. They heard the stories about God, but they never knew God. Can I tell you that if you will get tired of hearing the stories of what God used to do and begin to get a relationship the way God wants you to have it, He can do it right here, right now in your life. God is still a miracle working God. He is still a situation changing God. He is still a God that can change your life and will change your life if you'll completely commit to yourself to Him. The people of Israel walked right across over on dry ground into the across the Red Sea. It was an aha moment of the power of God. Maybe it was Samson and Delilah, an aha moment of mystery. In Judges chapter 16, verse 18, when Delilah realized that he had told her her secret, it was an aha moment. It was one of those when the light bulb goes off. How many know what I'm talking about? You see, you got to recognize the aha moments of life. Maybe it was Jonah chapter 1, verse 10, the aha moment of truth, Jonah and the big fish. When the people realized that they said, no, you're not the hey, they said, who has sinned against their God? Jonah goes, that was me. And he goes, no. He said, what you got to do is throw me over into the sea. They go, no, what we've got to do is work harder. Can I tell you that, yes, you need to work at it, but you cannot work hard enough to get over the areas of what the devil has brought into your life. And he said, the only way that I'm going to get through this is if you throw me into the sea. And they did it. And at some point in time that they had, the sailors, the Bible said, realized that he was running away from God. They had an aha moment of God. And until they had the aha moment of God, that they were continually struggling. They were continually working. They were doing everything they know to do. And there are so many of us that say, Pastor, I'm doing everything I know to do. But until you have an aha moment from God and realize that the battle is not yours, but it is His, but I've got to commit and submit myself to all of the things that God has asked of me, then you will always be working it on your own. How about it? Maybe it was moment of remorse after Judas betrayed Jesus. Matthew 27. Judas, the one who betrayed him, realized that Jesus was doomed and overcame with remorse. He gave back the 30 pieces of silver and the high priest saying, I've sinned and I betrayed an innocent man. And they said, what do we care? That's your problem. Aha moment. Some of us have had an aha moment. Aha, it's over. The relationship is doomed. Aha, my children have left. Aha, that wasn't a dream that we were in. That was a nightmare, and it's not a nightmare, it's reality. How many aha moments is it going to take for us? See, in 2004, researchers at Northwestern University wanted to discover the psychological responses that lead to the breakthrough moments known as an aha moment. What they discovered was that a split second before having an aha moment, we experience a burst of electrical brain activity, kind of like the light bulb going off, and it becomes an aha moment. How many times have you been trying to get something and you couldn't get it, and then you go, oh, I got it. Maybe you were trying to do something you didn't know how to do, but all of a sudden this just kind of clicked and aha, you got it. Another study was done in 2006, and let me just go on record that there's a lot of study that's being done for no good reason. Tax dollars at work. But in 2006, by the same research team, found that aha moments tend to occur, and you got to catch this. They tend to occur more often if the mind is prepared, or it says prepared mind. In short, if we're open to change, and maybe even looking for some kind of change, an aha moment is more likely to happen. My God, what you've been doing ain't working. My God, what you've been trying ain't working. You got to have an aha moment, but you got to be open to it. Somebody hear me. That, Pastor, I've done it this way all my life. You need to have an aha moment. You need to open your Bible and open your mind and open your heart and say, God, I'm tired of trying to do it the world way. I'm tired of trying to do it the way everybody else is telling me. How should I do it? By this word, and let the word of God be not only your shield, but let it be your gauge. Help me, Jesus. Aha moments come in all shapes and sizes. They have been described as magic, as enlightenment, getting hit by a bus, and that is just that it just hits us. So what is an aha moment? I think it's safe to say that you'll know it when you have one. You have an aha moment that I'm probably treating my spouse wrong. That's probably why she's hitting me upside the head with a frying pan. Aha moment. I've got 64 credit cards and they're all matched to the aha. I need to do something. I'm spending more than I'm making. Aha. I'm going to church, and I'm going to church, but I'm not letting church go home with me. Aha. I serve God for what I want, but aha, I wonder what He wants. I know what I need God to do for me. I wonder, aha, does God need me to do anything? And if we're not open to change, well, I'm not the problem. I told this story many times, but it fits so well. My wife and I were having problems once of many. But this was pretty severe. And I asked God to touch her before I did. I began to pray and believe God and say, God, you really need to touch her. And the Lord said, why don't you pray for yourself? I said, because I'm not the problem. And every man in this room knows what I'm talking about. I'm not the problem. The problem is that woman you gave me. Felt an Adam call. Come on, somebody. And the Lord said, pray for your wife. And I did. God, touch her, change her, make her whole. Quit making her so annoying. Quit making her so aggravating. Lord, quit letting her be always against my opinion. In the name of Jesus, I bind it. And the Lord said, that's the wrong prayer. Pray for yourself. And again, I had to remind God because, you know, God's getting old. That God, I'm not the problem. And of course, many of you know the story. I begin to pray for myself, and aha, she changed. And I really don't know to this day whether it was her changing or me changing. I just know that God changed some things in me, which I'm sure affected her, that changed our marriage and changed the direction of our marriage, because the direction it was going was not good. Aha. Enlightenment. See, in order to get those moments, there are a few things that we can do to position ourselves. Position yourself to receive, to position yourself. How does one position themselves to have an aha moment with God? How do I do that, Pastor? And I've talked to a few people about this. Because they've told me about their aha moments. And I talked to several people today and they were telling me about their aha moments. And as I talked to them, these three things kept, I'd already had them wrote down. But they kept coming to the surface. Number one is this. How does one position themselves to have an aha moment with God? Having an aha moment with God, it takes intimacy. Now, men get real nervous when I talk about intimacy. And I'm not talking, listen to me, guys. Intimacy is not sex. That's not sex. You know, I mean, it's completely different. We had a, years and years ago, we had a Spanish, English was his second language. He was in here preaching, not in here, but he was in the old church and he was preaching, and he made me very uncomfortable. Because he said, that's the problem with the church. He said, I'm going to teach you today. I'm going to teach you how to make love to Jesus. I go, ah! I don't know what the Spanish word is for no, but no. I don't want to know that. But what he what is it? But what he was meaning is that he was trying to teach us how to have intimacy with God, but I don't want to know how to make love to God. So guys, don't get nervous. But I promise you, if you learn how to have intimacy with God and you also apply that to your marriage, you going to score. Intimacy with God, it takes it. When our passion for his presence outweighs our passion for the world. Well, Pastor, how do I measure that? Just check your life. What are you passionate about? Are you passionate about God? Well, not really. Well, if you become intimate with him, I promise you, you will be. Are you more passionate about the thing? Are you more passionate about fishing, golfing, hunting, or Jesus? Well, but Pastor, Jesus will always be there. He says, my spirit would not strive with men always. And let me tell you something. Oh, my God, help me, Jesus. I've learned something after 32 years of being married. Just because you're in the mood don't mean she is. Well, Pastor, what is that supposed to mean? Just because you're in the mood for a miracle don't mean that God is. Because if you just show up and think that you're going to have intimate without having time, that's called prostitution. And God is not a prostitute. And he will not prostitute his power, prostitute his anointing, prostitute his peace. He will not do it. Whew. Just bump your neighbor and say, man, we shouldn't have came tonight. Craig, lock the doors. Spending time with God. Cheek to cheek. Experiencing him in ministry and in intimacy. See, sometimes it's just good to get away. The problem is everybody gets away and stays away. It's not good to get away and stay away. All of us need those times where we just need to get away, but getting away, however, takes time, to which you have to make time to get away, right? If you waited till you had time to get away, how many would ever go on vacation? You just kind of got to make it, right? You just got to make time. You just got to get date night when you can. You just got to make time to do stuff with it, you know, because you make time for stuff you think is important. And if you don't make time for God, you'll never have time for God. If you say, I don't have time to get away, then you'll never get away. You have to make it. However, even if you can't get away, you still have those times when you can escape with God right in the midst of your chaotic, chaos life. That's the cool thing about God. Everything that had to be perfect for you to spend time with him. You could be in the midst of doing your job and spending time with God. I don't know if you've ever had to do it, but I've had to excuse myself to the bathroom and just go get a praise break so I could get my mind right. I just had to get away and just so I could just call on Jesus and have a little bit of talk with Jesus so I could get it right. Spending time with God is the key to receiving an aha moment from God. You don't have to leave physically, but spiritually, you are able to zone into his presence. Oh, I like to think of it as tuning ourselves into the frequency of God. See, here's the problem. I have Sirius radio on my vehicle. And if there is an obstruction, I lose signal. What is it that is obstructing you hearing God? What is it that's causing you not to have an aha moment? Is it the clouds of life? Is it because you're out of position? Is it because because there are other interferences in your life that is causing the signal to be distorted? Because I promise you, God, if you're where you need to be with God, He wants to give you an aha moment. We must tune ourselves to the frequency that God's broadcasting. We need to let Him reveal to us the moments that will change our perspective on our work, on our ministry, on our possessions, on our relationships, on our service. It's in this constant state of recreation that we find newness of life in Christ. And the old, which has been rendered obsolete, is laid down in exchange for the new that's filled with hope, filled with greater wonder than we had yesterday. It takes intimacy. Number two, it takes vulnerability. It takes vulnerability. It takes intimacy. But if you're going to position yourself for an aha moment with God, it takes vulnerability. What does that mean? Being vulnerable means you're not afraid to be yourself. You can't come to God, "Oh, Heavenly Father, you know who I am, oh God. I'm the worship leader. I'm the pastor. I'm the Sunday school. I'm the security guard at church, God. You know, I keep all of your people safe." Now, you don't come with your position. You don't come with your lapel on. You don't come with your coat of many colors on. You come naked before Him, and this is me. See, listen to me. You need to be careful, especially those of you who are dating. Take them somewhere where everything's going to get wet and makeup's going to come off and eyelashes are going to come off. And if they got fake hair, it's going to come off so you can see what they really look like. Come on, somebody. On your honeymoon night, they'll be taking a leg off over here and sticking it there, and an eye out and put it over here. Taking their false teeth out and put it over there, and they 24. Like, no wonder you look so good. You're the $6 million woman. But we've got to come to God and be vulnerable and then say, "Here are who we are." See, that's why some people, y'all, I mean, I understand this. I really, that's not something I enjoy. But some people can't take me. Now he's justifying. I'm talking about me. Yeah, whatever, Papa. Somebody go rip off his spirit life badge for me, please. No. Because I am what I am. Ain't that right, Papa? That's how he got the name. I am what I am. And the problem is we're coming to God and trying to be something we're not. But God knows the real you. He knows the broke out you. He knows the no spanks you. He knows you. He knows when everything is peeled away and you stand before God naked and unashamed and you say, God, with all of my scars and with all of my issues, with all of my baggage, here I am. But this is who I am, God. And when you come to God, you got to come to Him. You got to believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek His face. And if you'll seek His face, He will give you the aha moment. Being vulnerable, not no mask wearing, no fakeness, just you. It's the pretenses that keep us from seeing who God is. It means being honest with yourself and with others. Quit pushing on me. We have a tendency to believe our own lies. By doing that, we keep the Holy Spirit from being able to speak to us. And we say things, oh, that's the devil. Oh, the devil. No! The devil will never convict you. The devil will never mess with your conscience. The devil wants to sear your conscience. The devil will never deal with you that way. Be real with God. Don't put up a front. Be yourself. You know why? Because He knows anyway. He knows what you really look like. He knows who you really are. You know, I don't do fake well. Being fake is exhausting. So I don't be fake. And I remember I've told this story before, but I remember going to a minister's, Citrus County Pastors Association, a ministerial association. And I went to two. I gave them a shot. And the last time I went, it was 26 of us. And we all stood around in a circle, held hands, and everybody prayed. Number one, I don't want to hold a dude's hand for 20 minutes. Are you homophobic? No, I'm not, but I still don't want to hold a dude's hand for 20 minutes. And what it became is, who could pray the most eloquent prayer? Oh, our Heavenly Father, we come before Thee this moment, and we ask Thy loving kindness upon Thee. And Lord, may Your grace and Your mercy just shine upon our countenance, Lord. I thought one guy was speaking in tongues and it was just words I didn't understand. Went around all the way around. I don't know where I was at. I was somewhere in the middle. They got to me. I said, thank You for Your grace and mercy. Next. The next guy was thrown off. He looked at me. I go, next. That's all I got to say. Because without His grace and mercy, I'd be done left this joint. I'd be done blowed it up. Fake living jeopardizes a possible aha moment with God. You know, when God brought me here 25 years ago, I was at a church. I've been there for 3 years and a few months. There had been a couple of families who got upset with us, because I didn't do what they wanted me to do. They didn't know me very well. You ain't gonna strong arm me. But they got upset. Long story short, again, the Lord said, go make it right with this family before you leave town. And I said, I didn't do nothing. He said, I don't care. So I went over there sat in their living room. And I said, hey, man, I don't know. I said, apparently I must have done something. So I just came by tonight to say, I'm sorry, and would you forgive me? You know, for whatever I did, I'm so sorry that I did it. And he went, oh, Pastor, you didn't do nothing. We're fine. Okay. Well, I just want you to know from the bottom of my heart, I'm sorry. Oh, man, nothing wrong between us. Okay. So the Lord released us from Bluntstown. This happened within 6 weeks where I came down here. The church wanted me to be their pastor. I told them no. And six weeks this ensued. About 2 weeks before I left, we'd made a decision about 4 weeks into it, we made the decision about the fifth week that, yeah, we're going to come. Went and tried to make that right. I loaded up my U-Haul truck, and I'm pulling out of the driveway of the parsonage. This guy comes in, I'm not exaggerating, sideways on the brakes, jumps out of his car, crying, and comes and falls down in front of my feet and said, I'm sorry, Pastor. I told you that you didn't do anything, and you didn't, but I've had aught against you. And he went on this whole, you know, just decided to puke all over me right before I left. So he blabbed all that, and we prayed together, and we made it right. But see, he couldn't have an aha moment because he wasn't. He was being fake. Can you imagine what kind of world we would be if we would just be real?
Amen.
Now listen, don't be going out here talking about, I just want you to know that dress is ugly. I'm just being real. No, I ain't talking about that. I ain't talking about being ugly. I'm talking about just being real. Because if you're fake, it jeopardizes the possible aha moment with God. So it takes intimacy and it takes vulnerability. But the number three, it takes desire. You got to want an aha moment. Now, y'all probably haven't ever been there, but y'all know how real I am. I just, you know, there are times I didn't want an aha moment. You know, I know some of y'all are like, oh, I just want God to speak to me all the time. I haven't always been there. Especially when I know I'm not doing right. Especially when I know that my attitude's terrible. Especially when I know that I don't want God to speak all the time. But if you want an aha moment, it takes desire. You need God. You got to have intimacy. The people I talked to today, one of them was telling me, man, he prayed on his face, you know, for several days. That's all he could do was pray, just get along with God. And he became vulnerable. God, here's how I am, you know, and then had a desire. We've got to have a desire. We have a desire. Well, Pastor, I have a desire, but I want God to use Sister Bobby to tell me. Well, that way you can blame Bobby if it doesn't come to pass. You want a preacher or somebody to lay hands on you and give you a word of knowledge so you can blame them and then they become your God. And I'm all about that, guys. I'm using that gift. Our pastors are. We got people in our church who are using that. But at some point in time, you got to quit being spoon-fed by people and being God-fed by the Holy Ghost and let God speak to your spirit and go, aha! You have to have some type of desire to have God speak to you. But be careful that you don't want him just to speak what you want to hear. That's the fake part. When you're just, here I am, God. How many of us, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I'm just in your mind answer. How many of us have ever had God answer us in an answer we did not want to hear? All the time. He tells me all the time. Well, Lord, what's wrong with them? You? What? What? Me? I don't have anything to do with them. You're the problem. You have to have some type of desire to have God speak to you. And if you don't really care, you probably really won't ever hear from him. When you have that desire, it's much more likely that God will speak to you and you'll have that moment to God. Ask yourself, how badly do I want to hear from God? Now, here's the problem. We always know, go back. I'm not ready for that. The problem is we want God to speak to us badly when we're in a situation. If I'm hungry, I want my wife to tell me what we have to eat. But when I'm not, I don't care. Did you hear that? When I'm hungry, I want to know what we're having. But if I'm hungry enough, I don't care. Are you catching it? See, when you get hungry enough to hear from God, you won't care what He has to say. God, I just want to hear what You got to say. I might not even like the food, but if you're hungry enough, you eat whatever's there. And the problem with us is we're not hungry enough. Why? Because we haven't spent enough intimacy with God. So ask yourself, how badly do I want to hear from God? The level of your desire will deeply affect the level of aha moments you have with God. Because if you really want to hear from God, you're going to seek till you find. And guess what's going to happen while you're seeking? While you're seeking that one thing, He's going to be dealing with the other areas of your life and saying, this is what you need to fix, and this is what you need to fix, and this is what you need to fix, and then eventually, aha. Well, Pastor, how do I show God? How do I show God that I want to? Well, example, you can read His Word. And God gives you aha moments through reading the Word of God. Have you ever had an aha moment when you're reading the Word of God and it just like leaps off the pages? How many's ever had that happen? I love it when God does that. If you've never had that happen, it's because either you hadn't been serving God long enough or you hadn't read the Word long enough. Because, man, sometimes the page just reads off the pages. And sometimes it ain't always, I love you and you're the greatest thing since peanut butter. I love those aha moments like that. Oh, you're great and you're about to come into $1 million. Aha. Aha. Hey. It's the same God. Right, Vicky. It can happen during a song. It can happen with somebody just speaking to you. It can happen with nobody touching you. I can't tell you how many aha moments I've had standing right there, worshiping in the altar. I can't tell you how many aha moments I've had on this platform. I can't, you know, listen, let me just give you this and I'm done. Y'all come back to the building that we bought. A woman gave a word at Pastor Appreciation that year and said, the Lord's going to give you a plan step by step by step. I went, oh, praise God, I'm ready for that. The next night, I don't know, it was in the afternoon, I was in my office and I went, aha. And I ran some numbers and I go, that can't be right. I ran some more numbers, that can't be right. I call Clayton, who does loans, not personally, so y'all don't be like going to him. But if you qualify, we'll loan you some money, huh? They're right, the bank will loan him some money, they're right. So I called Clayton. I said, Clayton, could you run these numbers? He goes, oh, that's exactly what I got. I go, run them again. He goes, Pastor, that's what I do. I said, run them again. He ran them again. He says, that's the exact number. I don't know if he really ran them again or just said, that's the numbers. And it was the numbers that only added $600 to our bottom line and we bought the building over there. But that came as an aha moment. Those, you know, that's just one instance. Pastor, is that your biggest aha moment? No. Some of my aha moments are none of your bizwax. Yeah. So I'm giving you something that you can relate to. All right? Let me give you someone you can relate to. All right? I got on the scales. It went, aha. Yeah. When the thing went all the way around, bing, 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 aha. The moment that I realized it wasn't my dryer that was causing my clothes to shrink, it was my refrigerator. Aha. Stand to your feet. Only you can answer that question. How deep, how bad do I desire it? Aha. Man, I feel an anointing in this place. And the preacher in me, and the pastor in me, the evangelist in me wants to have everybody come to the altar and just lay hands on everybody. And, ah! But I'm having an aha moment right now. That unless it's your moment, it's not going to have the desired effect. I know it's 8:30, and I know that it's 8:34 for those of you who are really precise. Right where you are. And Jonathan, I want to pray over you before you leave. This is your last night with us. I don't think you're going to make the drive every Sunday and Wednesday back down every week. But I want to pray over you. Come here, John. Jonathan, I'm sorry. Jonathan's got a job up at Eglin Air Force Base. It's a good paying job. Of course, when he gets a good paying job, he moves away, can't pay tithes here. I don't understand that. My God, we've been praying for him and supporting him, and now he gets a good job, and, you know, I don't. Aha. Right where you at. Right where you're at. Just ask God, man. If you need that moment, ask yourself that question first. Do I have intimacy with God? Am I vulnerable enough for God to speak to me? And do I really desire it? And just let God speak to you. Come on, lift your hands right there where you are. Could we just have about 3 or 4 minutes? And that, we're not going to keep you long. I just, in this atmosphere, man, I'm telling you, I just feel a wooing of the Holy Ghost. Come on, mom and sister, I want to pray over Jonathan. Yoranda la basuturasai. Father, this young man's been in our church for over 20-something years now. And God, I pray that I mark him by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, he's been faithful at church, faithful to his mom, faithful to his family. And now, God, you have given him not just the job of his dreams, but even better than what he imagined. And I pray for your prosperity on him, God. God, as I pray, as he goes to Niceville, God, that you would go before him and make every crooked place straight. That, God, you would prepare a circle of friends. That you would prepare where he's to live. I pray that you prepare the hearts of his co-workers, the hearts of the people who will be over him. And God, I pray that he is a light to not only the community, but to the also to Eglin Air Force Base. God, I pray that you would be with him, God. Lord, continue to speak to him. Let him be intimate with you, God. Let him be vulnerable unto you, and let him desire your word and your focus, God. Lord, we mark him for the anointing of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. God, we pray over Mama. We pray over Sister, Lord, that you would just help them in this transition time. In the name of Jesus. Father, everybody under the sound of my voice, God, I have felt this message so much today, God. God, I pray for an aha anointing, an aha word, an aha moment that people would receive, God. And that they would get direction that would change their life. Lord, whether it happens now or it happens as they go home or as it happens in their devotion. God, as we get our lives aligned with you, I pray for the power of the Holy Ghost in demonstration in the lives of every believer. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.